Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups. Kendra, if you're ready to get going, then can you kick us off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background in marketing, please?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Kendra Svensson, and currently, I'm the Vice President of Client Partnerships at Speak Creative, which is a digital agency based in Tennessee, working with clients all over the U.S. and beyond. So I work with, in client partnerships, work with the teams that really interact with our customers. So digital marketing, website projects, support, you name it, I'm kind of involved in it. And I've really just built up that career based on my experience in marketing. So my career started out as a brand marketer for a dual branded company. I was kind of the only marketing person there, wore a lot of hats. From that, went into advertising sales and helped out an advertising team. And then I went to agency life. So definitely found my spot here in agency life. Can't see myself leaving, but it is without a doubt one of the most challenging and rewarding things I've done with my career to this point.
Awesome. That's great to hear. And thank you so much for joining us today. This episode is obviously, as you know, about KPIs to measure digital marketing. I think you're going to do a great job. I mean, we spoke about this before the call, and I'd love to kick off my first question. Prior to this call, you stated that understanding your goals is the most important first step and the first step. How can specific goals help measure KPIs? And can you give us some examples?
Sure. So I always like to think of the end as we start the beginning. I guess, you know, goals is one way to put it, but the other way is like, what does success look like? Because I find if we haven't mapped that out, then our strategy is probably kind of off target. So if we can envision what success looks like, imagine what the end goal is, then we can really kind of reverse engineer that back into our strategy. For an example of that, I think an easy to understand example of that is if you're thinking about an email campaign. You know, I need to get email content out there is a common starting point, but unless you understand like why you need that email content, what action you want people to take from that, and then what is kind of the gold star result from that. You know, is it a purchase? Is it a membership? Is it a phone call for a sale? What is that end goal? Because if we're just sending email to send email, then sure, we can do it. But what are we getting out of it? What's it worth? We don't know. So I always like to understand our KPIs as we get started, just because we can be much more detailed and much more focused in what we are planning.
Awesome. Yeah. When you first mentioned about goals, really, this is the first thing that came to mind for me. SMART goals, I'm sure you've come across them before, like specific, yeah, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. And I immediately thought of that when you brought this up. So I think it's very relevant. And on the topic of goals, you also stated that goals are different by source. Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah. So if your goal for your business is, let's say you have a widget, I think that's the term that we like to use, and you want to sell 500 of those, you have to understand that some of your channels of marketing just aren't going to be the best ones to sell the widget. You have some channels that are going to drive engagement and loyalty, like maybe social media. You have some pay-per-click ads that are definitely more geared towards the purchase. And so I think you have to understand whichever mediums you're going to use, they have to have specific goals that will help you reach that overall goal, but they might not use that exact framework as just purchasing a widget. So for instance, social, you really have to think about your goals there being engagement and maybe traffic to your website. But a lot of people who see your product for the very first time might not buy it immediately. Whereas if they're searching for it, and they find it, then purchase is much more likely. So when we're looking at what our goals are, I think we have to break down like Is engagement okay? Do we only need the sell? And go at it from that perspective.
Cool. I'm sorry. I'm really embarrassed to kind of ask this question, but what is a widget? I've definitely heard that before. But if someone asked me to describe it, I wouldn't be able to do so. And I feel kind of like a bit of a fraud just carrying on this conversation. Like, yeah, definitely sell those widgets. And I don't know what they are.
Well, it's like saying, you know, it's like saying XYZ or ABC. Insert your product here is how I use widget.
To be fair, that is a far more entertaining term than just using X or Y widget. There's definitely a funny sound about it. It sounds exactly. Like a kid's cartoon character or something. I like it.
It sounds, yeah, it definitely sounds like you know exactly what you're dealing with. <not the case.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
Also, like on the topic of goals again, you advocated that it's okay to have more than one goal at a time and stating it's okay to go after two audiences, two types of conversion, or two metrics, but the approach cannot be the same. How should the approach be different? And can you give examples of this as well, please?
Yeah, so something that I always, I guess, preach is that you have to know your audience. And sometimes that is more than one audience. There might be, let's say if you are a dentist, we work with a couple dentists, you have the audience that is just going to come for routine cleanings. You have the audience that maybe doesn't come for routine cleanings and they have cavities, and you have to appeal to their something different, not the routine maintenance. Then you have the parents of the kids who need to come, right? So you really break down your audiences. And we do that for a variety of clients, not just dentists by any means. But your messaging to each of those audiences has to be completely different because the value proposition is different. Maybe to one audience, you're talking strictly about insurances you offer and the types of care you offer, whereas the other one, you're appealing to being a family practitioner and taking care of children. And so once you identify kind of who your personas are, you have to understand that how you're going to reach them is very different. And the product that they might be buying might be different from another audience.
Okay. It sounds complicated, but I mean complicated in the sense of like executing. So I can definitely understand the value of hiring a marketing team or marketing specialist to handle this sort of thing. Because it seems like you get into layers upon layers, or maybe a better analogy would be like spinning plates, lots of spinning plates all at one time.
Absolutely. And I mean, a really well-rounded marketing plan is going to segment based on audience because you do understand that, you know, a couple of your mediums for getting your word out aren't going to reach all of your audiences. And so understanding who your audiences are and really getting in, understanding what their goal or their conversion at the end of the road is, helps you tailor that. And it can get complicated quickly. We have a lot of clients who will say like, well, who's your audience? And they're like, everyone, we can offer our services to everyone. And that's usually where we kind of, you know, hold up the stop sign and say, okay, but really who's actually purchasing from you? And let's start there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an important thing to identify regardless of whatever you're working on, especially in the sense of like us doing this podcast, or even if you have a YouTube channel or Instagram, or that trickles into so many other forms of, I suppose, marketing, especially when you're like working on social media channels, that you really have to pinpoint who you're going after and not just go for that classic everyone approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even in like marketing our agency, we have different audiences. So we have potential clients, but then we also have other agencies who look at us for thought leadership. And then we have recruiting. You know, we want to make sure that talent out there knows that we're a great agency to work for. So our messaging on our podcast, our messaging through email, our messaging on social, all three of those are different because we know which one reaches which audience.
Awesome. Yeah. I do have one more question for you, and it's kind of on a similar point as the last one. You stated that when there is a limited budget, you mentioned taking a more tactical approach by trying to identify a message that speaks to both audiences. Can you give some examples of how this could be carried out?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a theory that I have heard over the years called the red thread theory. I believe it is originally attributed to Tamsin Webster, who's a popular speaker here. But what she says is that you can find commonalities between your audience. So if you know, let me go back to my dentist example. If you know that value is something that more than one of your audiences cares about and is a big message piece, then you can use that message to reach both audiences. So when marketers do have limited budgets and maybe don't have the means to really segment all of their audiences, what they can do is find the commonalities and then create a message that will appeal to both. So, you know, same for our agency. If we're looking at recruiting, but we also want to get new clients, talking about our expertise, talking about how we are cutting edge and advanced and how we evolve, that's a common piece of conversation to have with both our recruitment audience and our potential client audience. So you can kind of maximize your ad dollars there if there is a limited budget, just by finding that common thread or that red thread that runs through all of your personas.
That makes sense. That's a logical theory. And I have to say, it's a bit of a tongue twister, red thread. I'd have some difficulty saying that multiple times, I think. But no, it makes sense. Awesome. Well, Kendra, those are all my questions today. If people do want to keep up with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So on all the socials, they can find me at Kendra Sven or at Speak Creative. And then our website for our agency is madebyspeak.com.
Awesome. Fantastic. Out of curiosity, how do you say your surname and where is it from?
Svensson. It is Danish.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I saw that. And some shows I like introduce a person, not so much on this podcast, but I definitely get anxiety when I see certain surnames or first names. And I'm like, how am I going to do this?
I've heard so many different pronunciations, so nothing shocks me anymore. It's been interesting.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Kendra.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.